Before you hear me being funny in today's podcast, I just want to tell you that A Little Bit Racy has again been nominated for the UK Podcast Award 2016, and we need your vote. Do your civic duty and head over to our Twitter page, twitter.com/alittlebitracy, and click the link in the pinned tweet and vote racy. And now to our feature presentation.
Cornucopia Radio presents...
And welcome to A Little Bit Racy, the improvisation comedy panel show that you just couldn't make up. I'm your host, James Cottle, and if past experience has taught me anything, it's that punching my producer will definitely get the show onto Amazon Prime. In the show, panelists race against a time limit of just 3 minutes to improvise their way to a destination. They begin from different starting points and use an assortment of randomly assigned objects, companions, and modes of transport, but they must keep all of them with them when they travel. They also have to overcome another panelist, who will improvise obstacles to try and stop them. Now, fulfilling an ancient blood oath spanning hundreds of generations to appear on this panel show, please welcome Chris Constantino, Daryl Robson, Pip Mason, and Tom Harrison. So, let's move on to the challenge in round one. In a stunning development, Google has totally disappeared. Even Bing can't find it. Within hours, hacker collective Anonymous have posted a ransom video to YouTube, complete with radical spinning skull icons demanding $1 billion. Knowing there's only one web directory nobody has tried yet, you decide to head to the home of Archie, the world's first search engine, housed in the ancient caverns below central Montreal. Head over there and try to locate Google before it's too late. So, attempting the challenge first will be Chris. Your object tonight is an electric shaver which you can't switch off. Nice. Your companion is an old cop that's just 2 days from retirement. Your mode of transport is a kangaroo with a human-sized pouch. And your starting point is uncertain who farted in a crowded lift in Kettering, United Kingdom.
I'm in my elements, I see.
So, Chris, you're trying to get from Kettering to Montreal, and Daryl is trying to stop him by throwing any obstacles he can in his way. Best of luck to you, Chris. Your time starts now.
Okay, we're in the elevator with myself, the good detective, and the kangaroo. Using his imperative detective skills, he manages to work out that it was ironically the old lady who had farted and not me, like everybody was thinking. And we get off the elevator and we're all closer for the experience. And I have to go somewhere as well, actually, don't I? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, we head north, going up towards Scotland.
Yeah, no,
specifically using our mode of transport, obviously, as it was graciously given. So me and the detective and the shaver that we can't turn off hop in the kangaroo pouch, and fulfilling a dream I've had since I was watching cartoons as a child, we use the kangaroo to hop towards the border.
Excellent stuff.
And then we get to the border. Amazingly complication-free. This is going quite swimmingly at this point. Speaking of which, we then start swimming. We head up towards... it's Iceland before Greenland, isn't it? Or is it the way around?
It is Iceland before Greenland.
We hit Iceland and cross Iceland in a very similar to fashion as we did in England.
You just realise, though, that you got to Iceland and the kangaroo didn't actually have a passport. Neither did the detective.
It's fine, because thankfully the detective says, "This is official police business!" And everyone just kind of goes along with it.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So we continue what's called our journey to...
Montreal and Canada.
Montreal and Canada, heading up through Greenland.
1 minute left.
We continue heading... I'm trying to think of a different way to get there aside from swimming, but it did seem to...
the detective stops... He looks around, he ponders, he says, "Hang on a minute, Greenland? There's no green. What's happening here?" He's got a case on his hands, how does he solve it?
I convince him that the answer to all of his questions lies with the original search engine in Montreal.
Yeah, that's going to motivate him, for sure.
So we can continue on our very lengthy swim with our bold kangaroo, our kangaroo hair blanket, and our electric razor. We hit the shore of Canada. And continue in a Toronto-ly direction. Wait, yes. What's Toronto we were going towards?
Montreal. You can head to Toronto if you want first.
You end up in Toronto! Oh, what do you
do? We go to Toronto, we enjoy the sights. We have a bonding experience.
10 seconds left.
What's it called? We hop... no, we can't hop on public transport. We hop on the thing that can hop, the kangaroo, and he hops us... and he hops us to Montreal.
Excellent, Chris Constantino. Very nice stuff. Now, attempting the challenge will be Daryl. Your object tonight is a drawer of miscellaneous IKEA screws. Your companion is Gok Wan. Your mode of transport is a toboggan. And your starting point is falling out a plane without a parachute over the Ivory Coast in Africa. Best of luck to you getting out that situation, Daryl. And best of luck to you, Chris, trying to throw obstacles in his way. Your time, Daryl, starts now.
So, we've fallen out of a plane over the Ivory Coast. Gok Wan's with me. So's my drawer of screws. Luckily, I've managed to put a bit of a film over the top to keep them in, otherwise it'd be everywhere and that'd be a nightmare and it'd take a good 3 minutes just to clear them up. Anyway, it's a nightmare. It's okay though, because Gok Wan is wearing the latest in fashion. It's one of them all-in-one boiler suits. So I said to him, zip it up tight and ask him about fashion, and his overly inflated idea of himself manages to form some kind of balloon wrap kind of...
Powered by ego. Nice.
Powered by ego and just... ball. So we end up going, but we miss the Ivory Coast. Might as well go west towards America. Might as well do that.
Okay, when you land, Gok Wan fears that the, the toboggan you have with you clashes with your style, and he's insisting that, he can't be seen with you, so it's either your item or him. How do you convince him?
I say, what, Gok? Have you never had a boiler suit toboggan combo? Have you not read Vogue 1994? He says, no, love, I've not read it. I says, you should read it. He says, I'll read it. I says, let's get to a search engine in Montreal. I says, they've got a copy there. You can have a read of it. He says, oh, let's go then. Let's have a go. Anyway, luckily, there's some kind of trawler coming past. We say, stop. It turns out to be one of those bounty hunter trawlers. So we get on board because I think we've got some kind of pretty boy with us that they might want to take on board. Anyway, it turns out it's just Gok Wan. Anyway, so we get on board. We say, where are you going? He says, we're going to America to plunder some riches. I said, brilliant. Which part of America? He says, which isn't far enough to make it cheating. The bottom part of America.
Florida, let's say.
Florida, yes. It's Florida, excellent. So just past the Caribbean.
Okay, while on the trawler, somebody comes across the jar of screws and they think that you've stolen them from the trawler, and they think that you're stealing stuff from them instead of those Americans who I'm not going to say anything worse about because we may have listeners overseas. God bless America.
I lean in close to him and I say, come here. What's it got to do with you? And he says, oh, hang on. I only wanted to see your pretty boyfriend. I said, you disappear. Do what you need to do. Leave my screws alone.
This is a real situation.
Which is fine.
So 1 minute left.
I said, it won't be long. I'll be in Florida soon. Hurry up. Right. So it comes off. We get to Florida. Cape Canaveral. That's a cape. That'll do.
Is it anywhere near Florida?
That'll do. Near enough. Pull in. So right, we're here. Quick. We've got to use the... route on the road up America to...
On a toboggan.
On a toboggan. Luckily, it's downhill.
You accidentally... in Florida, you accidentally too close to someone, you end up getting shot at.
That only makes him run faster. You have, if you've ever seen Gok Wan being shot at, verbally or with actual guns, he is like a rocket. Anyway.
Unfortunately, I have not.
Anyway, basically what I said to him, I says, look, I said, you'll never guess what. I tie him to the old toboggan. I say, look, you never guess what. There's somebody in Canada wearing double denim. He says, no. And he's away. He's away. And we're going. We're going to rate a Knox. He's like, double denim.
10 seconds
come off. Anyway, he gets there and he's blasts through the door. He says, who is wearing double denim in here? I said, it's just a joke. I've just come to a search engine. Where the hell is Google? I say, it was just offline.
Daryl Robson. Fantastic stuff. Thwarting crimes against fashion all over the globe. So, fantastic stuff there from our first pair, but now we're moving swiftly on to our second pair, and attempting the challenge first will be Pip. Your object tonight is a goodie bag from a 3-year-old's birthday party.
Okay.
Your companion is a wise-cracking anthropomorphic toilet brush.
Okay.
Your mode of transport is a driverless car with broken GPS. Right. And your starting point is slowly going deaf at BCM Planet Dance at Magaluf in Spain. Or just off the coast of Spain, technically.
Right, okay.
And Tom, it's your job to stop him by throwing any obstacle you can in his way. Best of luck to you, Pip. Your time starts now.
So we're at this nightclub in Magaluf, which is a very odd place for a three-year-old's birthday party. but I've got a goodie bag full of sweets and something, so that's nice. My friend, who I've decided to dub Mr. Brushy, I'm feeling a bit awkward here. He's having a laugh, and it's like, dude, I want to leave. And it's like, no, we can brush up against all these guests. Like, no, I want to leave now, Mr. Brushy. So it's like, I grab him, because he's a brush. He can't stop me. And we go out. You know, we got this situation with Google. We got to sort this out. So we go out to our mode of transport, which is a robot car with no GPS. I'm going to assume that it's the Johnny Cab from the original Total Recall.
Oh, my God, good call.
You're going to assume wrong, I'm afraid. It's just a driverless car.
Oh, well, we're both disappointed.
I will refer to it as the Johnny Cab. Right, okay, so we get in the Johnny Cab.
Oh, sorry, it's at this point where you open up the bag, the party pack, and you realise it has one of those terrible, terrible two-dimensional plastic toy cars in it, and you're filled with a endless sense of nihilism and despair. Because at the end of the day, what do you do with a 2D toy car? You can't pretend to drive it. I'm digressing, sorry.
Okay, well, in that case, you know, I'll just give it to Mr. Brushy so he feels included. It's like, that's your car. This is my car. We both have a car. And it's like, hey, you know, I'm inclusive. So we hop on a ferry and we ferry it over to Spain. And we begin like a nice drive up like the Spanish coast.
How is the driverless car coping with not knowing where to go?
Leave that to me. your car has mistaken Spain for... I'm just trying to think of another country that begins with S. Bolivia. Doesn't begin with S, but that's how broken this driverless car is.
Okay, well, we're still in Spain. It just thinks it's Bolivia. That's the thing. So it's like every time it goes a bit wrong, we just like try and nudge it back on course. If anything, we are taking the scenic route. Because it's just we're going here, there, everywhere, around the hills. I mean, sure, there's a road that's like a straight 20 minutes. But no, we'll go for an extra 2 hours. Because, you know, it's nice and scenic. So we work our way through like Germany, then Poland, and then why not Russia? We'll go to Russia. I always go to Russia. Like, so we're traveling through Russia again. It's like just going over the hills everywhere. There's a motorway we could use, but no, we're having fun.
Mr. Brushy, I think it was.
Yeah, Mr. Brushy.
It just won't stop making insensitive jokes about borscht. It's like, oh well, you know, how do I clean up what happens after borscht? I'm not a wisecracking toilet brush. Use your imagination at home. Okay. The point is, it's annoying people.
Okay, well, either way, to spare the people, anyway, I just grab him and I shove him in the glove box and I just shut it. And it's like, I'll let you know when we get there. So it's like, we pass our way through Siberia and Russia, and then it's like we hop on like another like Arctic trailer. Because there is no land connecting. And so,
no, yeah. Right over that water, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going over the water, and then we land in Vancouver? Is that
but it's near Alaska.
Okay, so we are in Canada, but we're on the opposite side of Canada. We're in Vancouver. So it's like, I get Mr. Brushy out going like, you're going to behave, because, you know, they're a lot more polite around here in this country. So it's like, okay. So we make our way through... oh, I can't remember. It's Anaheim and the Lakes Country.
Left.
And then we have, we're going all over the place, all over the mountains and everything. And then we eventually arrive in Toronto.
Montreal.
No, via Toronto. And then we bust down this door and go, you know, where Google at?
Nice. Yeah. Mason. Very good stuff. Right, now attempting the challenge will be Tom. Your object is an obnoxiously large American flag. Your companion is an inept children's magician. Your mode of transport is a Zimmer frame with racing stripes. And your starting point is having your internet search history being read out loud to a full courtroom in Hanoi, Vietnam.
Oh, God.
Best of luck.
Yeah.
Pip, good luck trying to stop him as well. Might not be too hard. Tom, your time starts now.
Okay, so I very quickly just cut my losses before they get into my, like, Friday night at 3 a.m. morning, I guess, internet history, and just start bashing my way out of the courtroom with the Zimmer frame. I'm cutting my losses. I'm going out on the lamb. I'm Bonnie and... Not on Bonnie.
Just
I'm
Bonnie on
I'm
your
Clyde
own.
And Clyde. just so that I can say I won't exploit this, I rent a helicopter just so I can fly over Vietnam waving a giant American flag blaring out Creedence Clearwater. Just to say I have. Like,
okay, I'm not even going to stop that. Because that's
not many British people born in 1991 have the opportunity to do that. So yeah. So I make it to China where we ditch the very easy, cheap mode of transportation I could have used to cheat the whole game, and jump on the I don't know whether it's the Trans-Mongolian Railway, but one of the railways going up towards Russia.
Unfortunately, your magician is trying to entertain the guests and is that inept. He's just annoying them and they're on the verge of throwing him off the train.
I might have to improvise this. I think I'm going to have to... what else would I do? I put on, like, an amazing show using sliding around on my Zimmer frame, blaring out the 60s rock tapes that I have. They're a little bit more, like, welcoming of it, given that China wasn't, you know, bombed by America. and work my way slowly up through over to the border with Russia.
The border guard see that giant oversized American flag and you are not getting through here with that, I'm afraid.
I swiftly don a hat and I say the seagulls fly home from St. Petersburg tonight and they think I'm a spy. I'm not a spy. And I catch a ice ferry. It's a ferry that also runs on ice to Alaska.
Unfortunately, the ferry is not handicap accessible, so you're struggling with your Zimmer frame.
I'm not actually. I don't.
Well, they don't know that.
I don't need the Zimmer frame. Like, I can just hold it.
1 minute left.
Okay, I come ashore in Alaska where I call on my old friend that I disagree with on every possible issue, Sarah Palin, wrapped in an American flag, being like, I need immediate transport to. Canada, and she's like, why are you going to Canada? And I'm just like,
you might have shot yourself in the foot here.
I'm spreading the story about how great it is to shoot bears with rifles and stuff. So I gradually kind of hitchhike my way to Vancouver, which I believe is in the west. It is the west, isn't it?
Yep.
Unfortunately, your inept magician gets travel sick and ends up throwing up in his hat. And it just stinks out the entire bus.
I have to get off the bus and we have to hitchhike the rest of the way. I'm not impressed. He's trying to do, like, magic tricks. He's pulled a, like, tortoise out of a hat instead of a rabbit. I'm like, that's kind of actually proof of supernatural stuff that you made that from nothing, but I'm still not impressed because it's not a rabbit.
10 seconds left.
And then I bust into the... Not Google, the search engine HQ.
Archie.
Using Archie, using my Zimmer frame to smash at the concrete and mine away into the caves.
Excellent, Tom Harrison. Wonderful stuff there from both pairs in round one. But of course, we now need two winners to go on to round two. And those two winners are Daryl and Pip. Woo! Congratulations. But we now move swiftly on to round two. In this round, the winning panelists must improvise their way to a whole new destination. They may use their object, companion, and mode of transport again, but this time they are allowed to dispose of them if they wish. However, the defeated panelists will try and stop them once again, this time using their own object, companion, and mode of transportation to improvise obstacles. In order to prevent them from becoming the a little bit racy, go to Google go-getters. Golly! So, let's see what the challenge is in round two. Standing before the monolithic Archie servers, you pose the question on everyone's lips, where is Google? Reading through the reams of printed out data, you decipher that Google has been posing as anonymous, hoping to claim the ransom to pay off all their overdue taxes without having to front any money themselves. Ignoring Archie's pleas to be humanely deactivated, you set off for Google's oil rig off the west coast of New Zealand to reactivate the search engine and expose this deception. So, Attempting the challenge first will be Daryl, who, just to remind everyone, has with him a drawer of miscellaneous IKEA screws, Gokwan, and a toboggan. But Chris will now be trying to stop him, using his electric shaver, which you can't switch off, an old cop that's just 2 days from retirement, and a kangaroo with a human-sized pouch. So, best of luck to you, Daryl, trying to get all the way from Montreal to New Zealand. Your time starts now.
We've got to go west. We've got a toboggan. It's the only place that's cold enough for it to work effectively. Otherwise, we're going to wear it out. So we've got to go west, all the way to Vancouver. That's been brought up about 8 times in the last 2 rounds. We've got to go. So we're heading across there. Gokwan's chatting away, going on about brogues and all that, whatever he goes on about.
Likely you betraying him about the double denim guy.
Yeah, well, he's still mad about that. But I managed to convince him it was just a little bit of a lie. And he... He's in New Zealand. Ha ha ha. Anyway, he's carrying on. Right? Anyway, he's carrying on. So we're going west. And it's fine. There's a few polar bears, a few bits and bobs. But it's mostly downhill, so we're making good progress.
Okay, you, what's it called? When you get to the coast, you dismount from your... After you dismount from your toboggan, you notice that several of the screws have got... have gotten trapped in your shoe and are now lodged into your foot. And it's annoying when it happens with little stones, so I'd like to see how you handle this.
Have you never walked in snow before? It's amazing. When you get snow grips on, it's like you can walk twice as fast. You've actually helped me. This is amazing. We're making double the progress we were a moment ago. Oh, this is amazing. We're going faster and faster and faster. We've got screws stuck in the bottom of our shoes as like help to grip. We're going. And there's a little bit past Canada that links Russia. Apparently...
There isn't, though. There's water there.
There's water. Yeah. Right, apparently there's water, but it's okay because we've got a toboggan. Toboggans are made of wood. Wood floats. It's fine.
It's science.
Exactly. Unfortunately, a kangaroo with a curiously big pouch jumps on you, traps you in its pouch, and then jumps into the water in an attempt to...
Drown you.
Well, I didn't... I decided not to make it grim about two words too late.
That is grim.
Yeah. I know, but I tried to talk him out of it. It's just he had problems at home. He really thought like this was the only way out. I don't know what to tell you.
I say, Skip! There's somebody in Montreal.
You got his name wrong. This is making it worse.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Now he's upset. Now he doesn't want to help me at all. It's okay, because I managed to scratch my way out of the bald patch because you dropped your damn shaver. I managed to scratch my way out through there. It turns out Gokwan was sat floating on the toboggan all along just discussing dresses or whatever he discusses and naked.
1 minute left.
Anyway, right. It's okay. So we're floating. We've got some kind of... dead kangaroo corpse we can use as bait to latch onto some kind of whale or something. I don't know. So we'll latch on there and just use the screws that we've got remaining to fix the rest of the toboggan in some kind of jury-rigged kind of thing. Right, anyway, moving on.
Sorry, can I just quickly double-check? So what is your mode of transport at the minute? It's a toboggan with a kangaroo attached to it.
Powered by whales, which have been... The whale's been overinflated to make itself think really good because they've got one complimented on it.
Okay.
He said, you look really good. Black and white is so in this season. That's what they sound like out of water. When they record the yoga DVDs, it's always underwater.
You're probably working against yourself here.
So we wash up on the shore of New Zealand. We get there.
When you land on the shore, you're approached by customs, and they they hear a buzzing coming from your bag, which, although is in actual fact a razor that can't be turned off, they think it's a bomb.
Headed up by an old cop who's 2 days from retirement. Ten seconds left.
And I say, look, just to make it worse, it's actually a screw bomb. I'm so sorry. And they're all so scared, they just flee. Absolutely flee, because we haven't got a killer whale that's just washed up on the shore. They've got bigger things to be coping with. Jesus, get it right. Anyway.
I think that's probably 10 seconds, I'm afraid. Darren Watson. Very nice stuff there from Daryl. But now Pip is going to have a stab at getting to the oil rig off the shore of New Zealand. So let's just remind us what he has. We have the goodie bag from a 3-year-old's birthday party, a wisecracking anthropomorphic toilet brush, and your driverless car with broken GPS. Now Tom will be trying to stop you using his obnoxiously large American flag, an inept children's magician, and a Zimmer frame with racing stripes. So, best of luck to you, Pip. Best of luck to you, Tom, even more. Your time, Pip, starts now.
Right, I grab Mr. Brushy and it's like, right, we gotta roll. We gotta get to New Zealand. You know, it's like wetters down there. They'll make your CGI animation a lot better. We have to go. Yeah, we have to go. So we jump in our cab and we actually head south down to New York State and along that coast of America, like go into the southern states, past Florida.
You hear the unmistakable sounds of very, very distant country and western as you see me waving a giant American flag atop Sarah Palin's, like, I don't know what she drives, probably a tank. Really like a tank with the gun taken out and a beer fridge put in, I don't know. But basically, the point is I'm leading a giant army of rednecks.
Right, okay, in that case I'll make sure to lose you at the local country western festival, which there's loads of them every single
day. Oh,
they
love country and western. Yeah, is their only weakness?
We skip through like Nashville and that just like it's just a bottleneck. It's like it just stops them right there. So we carry on down south. We go through to Mexico until we reach the western coast of Mexico. And then, right, so I'm then going to skip across the water to about Indonesia.
How are you going to skip across
well,
the
water? You see, I've got my party bag from the balloon, and I get out all the balloons, and we blow them up, me and Mr. Brushy, and we shove it in the car to make, like, a makeshift raft.
Okay, I encourage my inept children's musician to make a balloon animal
magician.
Out of the balloons. Magician.
Yeah.
The inept children's magician tries to make a balloon animal out of all of the balloons and burst them because, obviously, you know, he's an inept.
Okay, before he can wreck, like, any more things, like, Mr. Brushy goes, like, I'm going to have to step up to the plate. You know, the mission is yours now. And he just strides up to the mission and goes, hey, make this disappear! And just jams himself down his throat.
Oh,
and just like, so he's like, yeah, they're just like scrapping on the floor and it's like, God bless you, Mr. Brushy.
That's like drive. That's brutal.
He did it himself. He's a vindictive anthropomorphic brush. He doesn't care about mankind. He's like, so right, so I cast off my taxi raft. And we make our way down to like Indonesia. We're just sailing.
1 minute left.
As one last desperate thing, I rush at you like the guy at the end of Die Hard with a Zimmer frame screaming.
Just scream what like
he says, ah.
Okay. Right, unfortunately I've got some of like the penny chews from my lucky bag.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I've chewed them up and I've placed them strategically. You get within like 4 feet of me and you just stuck to the floor. It's like
I pull one final dramatic pose as I seize up and then I'm basically down and you can win. Go for it.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. I like this. So we carry on sailing. I wave goodbye to him. We sail on through Indonesia, make it to about as far as Australia. And then from Australia, again, we're just going out around in like circles around the desert because there's no GPS.
You might as well go around in circles. There, we got loads of time now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're taking Ayers Rock. We're taking all the sites.
10 seconds left to get to the oil rig.
And then we just hop onto like a local truck. Like, no, because it's still got balloons. It floats. We go to the oil rig and then we just boost it down going like, you're not anonymous. You're Google.
Oh,
hey. Hey, Mason. Very nice.
That is probably the earliest Tom has ever been defeated. Well done.
Defeatable.
So, fantastic work there from both pairs in round two. But we now have to find out the conclusion and who has won this a little bit racy. Having reached the oil rig and turned Google back on, you vow to some nearby executives that you'll expose the extent of their deception to the public. Removing their shoddy anonymous masks, the execs say that they're confident they'll get away with it because, at the end of the day, who in their right mind would use Yahoo search anyway? Depressed and disgusted, you go to leave, but awkwardly realise you need to Google yourself away off this oil rig first. What an indignity. And it's you, our winner tonight, Pit Mason! Yay! Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, that's all we got time for on this show. I'd like to thank panellists Chris Cosentino, Daryl Robson, Pitt Mason, and Tom Harrison. I've been your host, James Cottle. And wait, you've only had this on in the background while you've been ironing, haven't you? See you next time!
you enjoyed A Little Bit Racy and would like to find out more, follow us on Twitter at A Little Bit Racy and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/A Little Bit Racy.